This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. So, series entitled King's Kids. King's Kids, this is part two. You can go to 1 Peter 2 and 9. I'll be there in a little while. But this series has a lot to do with understanding our identity in Christ and the characteristics or traits that we should have because of him. So when I come to Jesus, you got it, there are some things that I ought to see in my life. And so we started off last week and we kind of talked about that there's something that all of us desire, everyone in this room, and we all desire a sense of acceptance and belonging. If you remember, I talked to you about the show Cheers, and that kind of tells how old some of us are. You know, it's just a one setting. It's like a bar area, and they, you know, but the song was, you know, you want to go where everybody knows your name. And so, you know, and there's some of us that have joined, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. We have a lot of different military that's represented. We have some people that join different fraternities when they're in college. We have some people, you know, that they play sports, or either they just root for sports. You know, Cowboys, it might not be our year this year, but we're already looking toward next year. You understand what I'm saying? And so we want to be part of something. And while all of those are great, and while all of those are awesome, there is absolutely, positively no comparison when it comes to knowing that you belong to Jesus and that you are a king's kid. Like, you have been made in his image, and you have been made and his in his likeness. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says that you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. The Bible says that you are his own special people. All right. So don't ever let anyone tell you that you're not special, because you are, because Jesus paid a price for you. It says that you may proclaim the praises of him. That's what we just got finished doing. Who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Anybody glad that God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? I'm so glad that he saved me. 2 Timothy 2 and 19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. And I love this. The Bible says that the Lord knows those who are his. So he knows that we belong to him. And when you know who you are, and when you know whose you are, I like to say the game changes, because there's a strength, there's a peace, there's a confidence, knowing that I'm not here by accident. God not only planned for you to be here, but he has given you purpose. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The New Living Translation says, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And so every week I want to share some characteristics and some traits that we should see in our lives as a result of us coming to Christ. So today's topic, if you remember last week, we talked about transformation. Y'all remember that? That was a real good lesson on transformation. And we should see ourselves, you know, being changed and being transformed into the image of him. And so today I want to talk to you from the subject of freedom. Everybody say freedom. And this is something that we should experience when we come to Jesus. When we come to Christ, we should experience freedom. I talked very, very briefly last week, and I'll talk a little bit more today about it, that Paul, he had written to the church at Galatia, and really when you read the book of Galatians, it's a book on freedom. That's really what it is. Now, Paul was an apostle. He was a church planter. He was called to the non-Jews or the Gentiles, and he went across what was known as modern-day Turkey, setting up churches all over the place. He'd spend time there. He'd put a pastor in place, and then he'd move on. And once he was gone, he would write letters to the churches, or epistles. That's when you see in your Bible, it says an epistle. So it's just a letter to basically encourage them to keep going, you know, with Jesus in the doctrine that he taught. And some of the letters were written directly to the churches. Some of the letters were written directly to the pastor. And so shortly after Paul had left Galatia, there were some Christian Jews who were not really founded in their doctrine properly. properly, and they met with them and said, oh, okay, well, it's good you say, but you're doing it all wrong. Because, see, they were caught up in works, you got it, and Jesus is not caught up in works. And so the book of Galatians is really a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia, and it is a corrective letter that was sent to them to tell them, really and truly, don't listen to them, stay free in Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So Galatians, the first chapter and the sixth verse, and I love it because Paul jumps like right into it, right? And so Galatians 1:6, he opens up by saying, hey, it's me, the Apostle Paul, called, and all that kind of thing. Then he says, I am astonished. And it kind of feels like a really strong letter to the church because he's using words like I'm astonished. Imagine me calling you and I'm saying, hey, this is Pastor. Hey, I'm astonished. You're like, oh, wait a minute. But the reason was because Paul had taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had taught them that it was about relationship and not about religion, and how they had to stay free, and he didn't want them to go backwards. So he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. Now, we understand that the gospel is grace-centered. Remember last week, we talked about how there has to be a balance of grace and truth. Y'all remember that? And he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning into a different gospel, which is really not a gospel at all, Paul says. He says, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and they are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, one of the issues is that they were telling them that the only way they could really solidify their Christianity, to be godly is to get circumcised. I mean, we're talking about, a grown man walks in 40 years old, joins a church, and says, you got to be circumcised. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, I think it's the 15th chapter, if you read that, they are actually having like a meeting to discuss if surgery for circumcision should be added to their rules for joining the church. How many know that would be a ladies-only membership class, right? And so he's talking to them, and he's trying to get them to understand that this is a grace-centered gospel that is full of truth, and it's not about religion or rituals, but it's about relationships. And so I spend a lot of time talking about grace and truth and how you just can't have one without the other, and you have to put it together. And that was the basis of my lesson. And so today I still want to talk about this gospel. He says there's a different gospel. And so really he's saying, man, there's two different gospels, and you have to choose the right gospel if you're really going to be free in Christ. He says, Paul says, one is based on rules, basically religion, which is man's attempt to get to God. He said, that is not what the gospel is about. He said, it's all about relationship, which is you falling in love with Jesus and receiving everything that he has already done for you. Does that make sense? So it's not about works, all right? It's about me receiving everything that Jesus has already done for me. When Jesus died and went to the cross and shed his blood, rose again with all power, presented himself to God, what he did for you and for me was he paid the sin bill, all right? Let me help you. See, hell is not a place that you go because God is mad at you. Hell is just a place you go if you want to pay for your own sin bill. But why would you pay for your own sin bill when Jesus has already paid for your sin bill, and all you have to do is receive him into your heart and start living for him, right? Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith. He didn't say works, right? He said, for by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. Watch what he says. He says, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is what Paul was upset about, because they were trying to get them to get caught up in works to be saved, in works to be godly, and that was not the key. Another term for salvation really is to surrender. Sometimes we say, I got saved. And if you come up in church, you kind of, understand what that means. If you didn't come up in church, you're like, what does that mean to get saved? It really means that you surrender your life to Jesus. In other words, no longer will I live my life according to my rules, but I'm going to live my life according to God's way. That makes sense? So this is a real simple lesson. It's not even going to take me a long time, but it's very, very impactful. All right. So I want to help you today, because Paul talks about this different gospel. So he says, okay, the gospel which I taught, which is grace-centered and full of truth, and then there's this different gospel that's all about works. He said, you have to pick the right gospel if you're really going to walk in freedom and experience everything that Jesus has for you. And so I want to help you pick the right gospel so that that you can live in freedom. Are y'all ready to do it? All right, here we go. And so they'll put up my first screen. I'm going to show you the differences between the two gospels. One focuses on what you do. One focuses on what Jesus has already done. All right, so let's talk about that for a minute. One focuses on what you do. How many chapters did you read? You know, how many times did I pray today? And listen, it's good to do all those things. You got it. But I'm not doing those things so Jesus will love me because he's already loved me. I'm not doing those things so he will accept me because I'm already accepted in the beloved. And so when I read the scripture and when I pray, I just do that because I love God and I want to grow in him. But I'm not doing it, you got it, as the case may be, so that way I can get any closer to God. So one focuses on what you have to do. I got to pray. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do. And then the other one focuses on what Jesus has already done. All right. And so he's already paid the price. He's already, you got it. He's already made a way of escape for you. He's already put some plans in motion in your life for you to prosper and for you to live a good life. John, the fifth chapter, in the 39th verse, Jesus is speaking and he's talking to those that are really caught up in religion, Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. He says, you diligently study the scripture because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And Jesus is saying, you know, they didn't want to believe on Jesus. They didn't want to believe he was the Son of God and all those kind of things, but they wanted to go to the scripture. And Jesus was trying to tell them, I am the scripture. So you can't go to the scripture without coming to me because watch this. Watch this. He says, I am the scripture, right? And so that's what you have to understand. And that's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand, that when you, listen, you can't come through the scripture apart from coming to me because I am the scripture. In the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus, all right? So that was the first one. All right, let's put up my second screen when we talk about the two different gospels. One focuses on getting God's approval, and one focuses on receiving God's love, all right? So the religion way is to focus on God's approval because most people believe that God is mad at them or they're not doing good enough. And that is a lie and a trick from the enemy to always get you to back up, to always to get you to have your heart, you know, in a bad place. The Bible says that if your heart condemns you, you don't have any faith or any confidence toward God. And so the enemy will put all these negative thoughts in your mind to make you think that you're not a good enough Christian and you're not a good enough person and you didn't do this or you messed up or you made a mistake. You got it. And see, now you're getting caught up in religion because Jesus says, man, when you come to me, you're mine. Like there's no, you know, you mine on Monday, but if you mess up on Tuesday, you're not mine. Like, he's like, you are always mine, and I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you, and I'm going to be with you. So if you did good on Monday, great. But if you mess up on Tuesday, I'm still going to be there. And if you get yourself together on Wednesday and Thursday, that's fine. And if you blow it on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I am your God. There's nobody like me. I'm not going to change my mind about you. I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm always going to be there for you. And that's a good place to clap. So one focuses on getting God's approval. You don't have to focus on getting his approval because you already have it. Can I help you? God can love you no more than he already does. He can. So quit trying to, I'm trying to get God to love you, love me more. No. He already loves you. Watch this. Was it Buzz Lightyear's To Infinity and Beyond? Yeah, he already loves you to infinity and beyond. All right. Okay, so one focuses on getting God's approval, while that's the works way, but one, while the what Paul was teaching is one focuses on receiving God's love. So hear me now, hear me, class. So it's not about you being enough because Jesus is enough and he loves you right where you are. Does that make sense? So you're going to either spend the rest of your life trying to be enough or trusting that Jesus is enough. And I choose to trust that Jesus is more than enough in my life. See, your view of how he sees you determines how you act. Your view of how God sees you determines, not just you, me, every Christian, it determines how we act. See, if you messed up and made a mistake this week, you fell short, just whatever, and if you have the wrong view of how God sees you, and you see him mad at you, and he's all upset, and he doesn't love you because you made a mistake, then what happens is you come to church, well, I better not clap, because that would be hypocritical. That's not the word of God. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. It didn't say, let everything that have breath praise the Lord if you had a good week. It just said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So why don't we just let everything in the room that has breath just praise the Lord? Just one good time, just praise the Lord. That's good. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates or proves, that's another word when you look up the translation, his own love for us while we were yet sinners or still sinners, Christ died for us. So you got to see, Jesus didn't wait for us to get it together. You know, God put something in place ahead of time so we could get it together. And for that, I'm thankful. I love 1 John 4:19. He says, we love God because he first loved us. So the whole reason that we can come to Christ is because, you know, with loving kindness have I drawn you. So he showed his love so that way we could come to him. And my whole job today is to help you understand that you are a king's kid. You have been made in his image. You have been made in his likeness. Yes, sometimes you might make mistakes and you might mess up. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because God never wants you to walk around with your head down. He never wants you to second guess how he feels about you. He doesn't even want you to second guess how you feel about yourself. He wants you to know that you are a king's kid, that you have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you are a chosen generation, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are God's own special people. Watch this. And that's got to be enough for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so that is my job to watch this. Last week we talked about transformation, right? We should be seeing ourselves change. This week we're talking about I should be walking in freedom. I should be walking in freedom. You know, I am a very emotional person when it comes to, you know, sports. You got it. I just am. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm at the house. I'm yelling at the TV. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's just, you know, and I know I'm not the only one in the house. You got it. You know, we got people in the room that root for football teams that don't even have a name. So I know that I'm not the only one in the house, the Washington football team. Anyway, much love. Just playing. All right. And that's okay. But when you go in the environments and people see me getting all crazy, you know, I'm not doing anything like wrong. I'm not cussing, you know, anything like that. But, you know, they just kind of like, what's wrong with him? You know, but I don't have to worry about that, because even though I'm yelling and screaming and I'm jumping up and down, I watch this. My value or how God sees me does not decrease based on somebody's inability to still see my worth beyond that. That's a good place to clap right there. Does that make sense? All right. Even if I yell at the refs a little while, every once in a while, God still loves me. All right, let's put up the next screen. Talking about the differences, making sure that we choose the right gospel. Y'all getting blessed? All right, here we go. One focuses on external duty. Oh, I'm doing real good. I'm going to be done soon. One focuses on external duty while the other focuses on internal desire. Let me help you, and we'll leave that one up for a little while. One focuses on external duty while the other one focuses on internal desire. This first part is easy. When we talk about external duty, you better do this, you better do that, you better do that, you better pray, you better make sure you do this, you better make sure you do, or else. And that's not God's way. When the other one focuses on internal desire, so watch this, the one says, you better live holy, you better live holy, you better do right. While the other one says, man, I want to live holy because I love God. I want to make the right choices. I want to do the right things. I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to wake up every day and give God my very best. I'm going to try to be the best version of me today that I can be. I'm going to try my best to glorify God in everything that I do. I'm going to try my best to do everything I can. Watch this. Not because I'm worried that God doesn't love me. Not because I'm worried that I'm not going to make it into heaven. But watch this. It's out of my love and appreciation for everything that he's already done for me. It is the least I can do it to just try to live my life for Jesus. Does that make sense? That's good. All right. 1 John 5:3 says, this is love for God. Watch this. To obey his commands. Watch this. And his commands are not what? Burdensome. We talked about this scripture actually last week. And so what happens is when we really start living out this Christian life, you got it, his commandments don't become burdensome. Watch this. Because it's not God trying to make me do it. It is me having a desire to, watch this, to continue to grow and mature in the things of God and the word of God. And as I continue to grow and to mature, I want to do right. You know, like I don't know how you feel, but like every day when I wake up, like I want to do right. Like I want to make good choices and I want to make God look good and I want to treat people kind. Like God doesn't have to make me do those things. You know, I want to do those things because watch this, but because it's the least I can do. 1 John 5:12, when you drop down to verse 12, it says, he who has the Son has what, class? Has life. Zoe, right? He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so because we have accepted God, Romans 10:9, that's all you got to do. All right. Don't ever allow people to make salvation hard. Salvation is not hard. Everybody repeat after me. Salvation is not hard. All right. Romans 10:9 says that if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that in my heart, I believe, watch this, that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God sent his only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for me, to take my place, you got it, for the sin penalty, you got it. And so because of that, salvation is now freely made for me. So all I have to do is believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, invite him into my heart and confess him as the Lord of my life and begin to walk out this Christian life and live for him. It is that simple. And so I've helped you as it relates to making sure that you choose the right gospel. All right. And so here's the question. How do I choose the right gospel every time? Like, I mean, Pastor, that's good, and I got it, but how do I make sure I do it every time? I know I'm not going to be perfect. I know I'm going to make some mistakes. I know I'm going to have some days when, you know, I get mad, and I probably shouldn't get mad, and, you know, do those kind of things, but how do, if you could give me something to help me really make the decision, you know, the right time, even if not all of the time, most of the time, how do I do it? That's easy. Number one, we'll put it up on the screen. First thing you got to do is fall in love with Jesus. That is the first thing you have to do. You have to fall in love with Jesus. And what do you mean by falling in love with Jesus? I mean that you realize what Jesus has done for you on Calvary. You have invited him into your heart and you have made the decision, man, I love Jesus more than anything. You got it? I love him because he saved me. I love him because he helps me. I love him because he won't change his mind about me. I love him because he won't walk away from me. I just love Jesus. You understand? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And that is why it is easy for a lot of us just to be kind to people. It is easy for a lot of us just to do the right things. Why? Because we love Jesus. So the key is to keep falling in love with Jesus. All right. Number two, don't allow condemnation. Let's go home, Court, because I'm almost done. Don't allow condemnation. What do you mean about don't allow condemnation? You need to hear me close on this. Because people, sometimes even other Christians, will try to condemn you or make you feel bad. Hear me. Because you're not doing what they think you ought to do. Doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. You know, they'll look at you, oh, you're not doing anything. You know, well, you know, you work out your own soul salvation. I'm going to walk out what this Bible says. And so because I'm not doing it how you think I should do it, doesn't mean I'm not saved, because I already did what Romans 10:9 says, and I've already invited Jesus into my life, and I'm already saved right here and right now. Does that make sense? Even if I root for a no-name team, I'm still saved. I love the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. So man, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're good. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law and sin of sin and death, which is works. And so you're already free. So number one, we said fall in love with Jesus. I should say keep falling in love with him. Number two is don't allow condemnation. And sometimes it's not people, because sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just the enemy. He'll just put thoughts in your mind and make you feel that you're not good enough and you're not where you need to be. Man, you got to cast down all those thoughts and just let it go. And then number three, my last point, and then we're going home. Make the choice to give him your best every day. You know, one thing that I love is that the Bible teaches us that when we get a brand new day, we get brand new mercies. And I don't know about you, but there's some days I wake up and I need brand new mercies. You got it. I mean, you know, I know all of y'all saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, on your way to heaven, glad about it, never messed up. But for those of us that have bad days, We're so thankful when we wake up and we get a brand new day, a brand new mercy. And you know what I love about the brand new day and brand new mercy? Jesus says, man, the slate is clean. We ain't talking about yesterday. We ain't talking about what happened. We're not talking about now. You get a whole brand new day. You get a whole do-over. You got it? When I was a kid, we were playing basketball. You know, me and my brother Joe, that's all we did as kids. You got it? We just played basketball. We stayed on the course all day long, you know, and then we would play, if there was not enough kids to play and it was just me and him, we would play like a pig. Y'all know what pig is? Like, if I shoot it and I make it, you know, and he shoots it and doesn't make it and he gets a pee, you know, and then if we were, you know, if we wanted to play longer, we'd call it donkey because, you know, D-O-N-K-E-Y, you know, and just so kind of, and there was times where I would come up and I come around and I do and I miss it. I said, oh, do over, I'm not done, you know. And so, you know, although he wouldn't always give me a do-over, but thank God Jesus always gives you a do-over. Thank God that and saints of God never, ever, ever allow condemnation from the devil, from people, from Christians, from anybody. You got it? Always know that I am accepted in the beloved. And watch this. And today I got a brand new day with brand new mercy. So I'm making the choice, hear me now, to give him my very best. Watch this. And I've got to trust that that's enough. I got to trust that that's enough. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I set before you life. I set before you death. I set before you blessings. I set before you curses. He said, if I was you, I would choose life that you and your seed may live. Every day when I make good choices, I'm choosing life. Every day when you know, there's good and evil out here, we already know it. You got it? And you could be off somewhere by yourself. Well, nobody will know, but it's still evil. And you have to make that choice that it's not about people, what people see, because people might not be here, but God is everywhere. And he's the one I'm serving, and he's the one I'm living for. So he says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He says, if I was you, I would choose life. I would make good decisions because, watch this, it's going to affect you and those around you and your children and your children's children. I believe, even if you're in the room, I was praying about this, and I believe that I'm right because I was trying to find a specific scripture, and I found a few. I don't have time to take you to them, but I believe that even if you're in the room and don't have children yet, I believe that when you start making good decisions and you start doing things, it's still, watch this, it's still getting you ready, watch this, or it's going to affect the children that are going to come to you. I believe that I don't have grandchildren yet, but I believe because I'm living a certain way and because I'm doing a certain way, that when my grandchildren hit this earth, that favor is going bound toward them simply because I'm choosing life that my seed may live. I think that's all for today. Can we give the Lord a big hand praise in the building?